I know what you're thinking. Katie, why are we talking about holiday gift guides when it's only spring? I know. But just like how product development cycles require advanced planning, so does pitching the press and getting your products featured in holiday gift guides. Today's guest is Nora Wolf from Wolf PR, a boutique public relations firm that she founded in 2011. Wolf PR specializes in furniture, textiles, lighting, and collectible design. In addition to this, they have consulted with a wide range of companies, big and small. In 2020, Nora and her business partner, Kristen Larson, launched a second business called Wolf Craft. And this one was to address PR needs that her first company, Wolf PR, was not designed to do. So Wolf Craft's mission is to help creative businesses build brand awareness with actionable PR and content strategies that resonate with clients and the media. Nora and Kristen are known for helping product-based business owners get their products featured in holiday gift guides. And that is what we're talking about today. Your timeline, what you need to have prepared, and how to put your best products forward when pitching press for holiday gift guides. If pitching holiday gift guides is something you are focused on for this year, I want to invite you to a free workshop that we're co-hosting with Wolfcraft PR on May 7th at 9 o'clock Pacific time. They'll be sharing best practices for pitching your products to gift guides and tell you more about their upcoming program that will help you get your products featured in gift guides. So head to proofedoproduct.com/PR workshop to register for that free workshop, and I will see you there. But let's get into it. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Nora, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hey, Katie, thanks so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm really excited about our topic today. We're going to talk about holiday gift guides, which it seems like an odd time to do it, but I know this is something that requires a lot of early planning, and I want our audience to be ready for that. So let's back the train up a little bit. Tell us a bit about you and Wolfcraft. What do you do, and how do you support product-based business owners?
First of all, I'll say you're absolutely right. It is, maybe it feels like a funny time. To me, it feels like right on time, so I'm excited to talk about that. But yeah, to answer your question, so I am Nora Wolf. I run a PR firm called Wolf PR, and that is a full-service retainer PR firm, which can be expensive and can be kind of too much for a lot of companies. And so right in 2020, like right around the same time as the pandemic, my business partner and I started a second firm called Wolfcraft. And I'll probably be talking to you a lot about the work that we do there. And I think that pertains a lot to folks that you like to work with as well. And so we kind of made it a la carte and a little bit more accessible. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about like things that I think all businesses can benefit from that don't exist within this rigid structure of monthly ongoing work and retainer structure. We're going to focus a lot on talking about how to engage with the media, which is something I think a lot of small businesses want to see for themselves because it's a feel-good moment. It's a nice feather in your cap, but it also can do a lot for building your business up and getting in front of new eyes, creating brand awareness. I always say good PR strategy also directly connects to a good business strategy.
Absolutely. I agree with that too. All right. So let's talk about this. Why should product-based business owners prioritize pitching? And we're talking specifically holiday gift guides right now. Why is this something that they would benefit from?
So PR can be kind of mysterious. Like, how do I get into a magazine or a blog, or how do I work with an influencer? And I think some businesses, depending on where they are, maybe have gotten in once or twice purely by accident. And so I think even folks who get recognition from the media sometimes don't really understand how to do that with intention, make it happen for them. They're kind of like chasing the opportunity instead of setting themselves up to get those opportunities more regularly. So the first thing is it is mysterious in general. The second thing specific to holiday is that if you think about a magazine you may subscribe to, let's just say real simple. I think a lot of folks really love that publication.
Yeah.
Every issue has product. the issue around the holidays, November, December, has like 10x the amount of product in the pages. So if you are trying to shoot a basket in a hoop, for a metaphor, and the hoop is just a normal size, sure, you can get it in. If the hoop is 10 times as big, you have a much higher likelihood of getting your basket in the hoop. And so that's kind of how I think about holiday gift guides. It's a great opportunity. You have way more of them. And then publications outside of the ones that you might normally work with, like, again, Real Simple might be exactly what your clients are always going to read. But let's say like Men's Health off the top of my head. Maybe your ideal client doesn't read Men's Health. Wouldn't you want someone from that publication to also buy your product for someone they care about? So perhaps they're also running a gift guide. And so not only do you have more opportunities in the publications that are in your target list, but you also have opportunities for different audiences outside of your general target. So the hoop gets even bigger as far as opportunities. And this is why I think it's the most important PR opportunity. If you're only going to pitch your products one time a year for inclusion in publications, holidays seem to be the best one because you have so many options for getting in.
Absolutely. I know because I worked in the PR world for a little bit when I was in corporate, and I've done my own PR or worked with our publicists that we've worked with for a long time. So I understand that the timeline on a lot of these opportunities is quite long, which is why we're here in the spring talking about what needs to be done for winter holiday guides. So can you talk through what this ideal timeline is for product-based businesses? When should they be pitching to be included in these holiday gift guides?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you'll hear me talk about, not just with you today, but if you ever come to our website or hear me talk somewhere else, I often talk about empathy. Kirsten's my business partner, and I both went to design school, and we both kind of have this working familiarity with design thinking methodology, which is kind of like a scientific method for design. One of the pillars, I won't go too deep into that, but one of the pillars is empathy. And so a lot of the time we get these like touchy-feely ideas when I say that word, but I think it's a really important business pillar. And so I'm going to use that framework to work backwards to answer your timeline question. I know it seems like I've deviated, but I promise I have a point. So let's think about, again, I'll just keep going back to Real Simple. I think it's nice to stay with the same example. If you are making a print magazine that has to get delivered across the nation to individuals' houses, to airports, to newsstands, to like CVS's, that's a pretty big lift. That's a big distribution lift. You also have to produce however many, 500,000, 1,000,000, 2,000,000. I don't know what the circulation number is, but you're producing actual physical books that get mailed all over the US. And then you have to then work backwards from there. So how long does it take to deliver all that stuff? How long does it take to print that stuff? And at what date do the editors who are putting this book together have to submit their work to the art director so they can like make it look pretty? And then it gets final approval, and then the PDFs get sent to the place where it gets printed. So we're working backwards. So this is why if you are submitting, and also the last thing I'll say is most of these issues come out in November, even though they're for December. So if you're working backwards and you keep this empathy for how much time this publication has to do this work, and you're pitching in October for the November issue, I'm sorry, it's already like getting put in the trucks or it's getting printed. So you really have to be empathetic about what the needs are of this production schedule.
Yeah.
Now this, we're talking about like print national. So it gets shorter, print regional. So that might be like California Homes. That might be like a New York magazine. The New York magazine does kind of circulate outside of New York, but we work with Detroit Design. We work with like a lot of different publications for specific areas. So those aren't distributing all over the nation. They're distributing basically in their city or their state, depending on that publication's point of view. So that timeline gets a little bit shorter. So you have a little bit more room. Digital, where they're not making a physical product, the timeline gets shorter. Newspapers, where they're printing something every single day, and they might also be local, the timeline gets shorter. So thinking about that, we like to aim for as many opportunities as possible. So we want to start with the longest lead time, which is print national. And then we work backwards from there. So print national, we say about 6 months. The other thing, going back to what I was talking about, if you're an editor and normally your pages have 10 products every month and the holidays come around and you're doing 100 products in that publication, you have a lot more work to do. So you need a lot more time to do it. So we want to just, again, be empathetic to the workload of the editor and the production schedule. And so I say to get the most bang for your buck as far as opportunities, we usually start pitching in June, sometimes July, for those print nationals.
I love that you shared this timeline in the way that you did and talked about the empathy and the schedule, because this is the exact structure that we teach when our folks are launching their new products to market. We talk about being on the early side of the buying season so that you seize as many opportunities as you can. And it's similar across the board for different industries too. So it's nice to hear that, you know, mirrored back, so to speak. So, okay. So further out for print publications makes total sense. They've got more work to do to get it printed and manufactured and, you know, run and distributed, like you said. Digital's slightly smaller. Dailies are slightly smaller timeline too. So that's good to know. You know, what can people start doing now to get their pitches ready for the holiday gift guide season? Like, what can they prepare?
So the most important thing is photography. You can have a cool product. It can be priced perfectly. It could have a wide range of appeal. But if the product is not good, I mean, if the photo is not good, get out of here. There's not an editor in the world that's going to include it in their pages if they don't have a good photo. Sometimes they do call in product for to do their own photo shoots. But again, going back to empathy, they don't have a lot of money. We know print is falling apart. We know like a lot of people are getting laid off in the media industry. So those budgets are not going to photo shoots anymore. So that cost gets pushed back onto the people who want the benefit of being included in the publication, usually the manufacturer or the retailer. So we're responsible for providing really good media standard images. I think that's a really important thing to talk about is media standard. Because again, you could take a gorgeous shot, great for marketing, great for social media, great for your newsletter, does not fit the standards of the publication. So you really have to look at the pages almost all the time. They're kind of boring e-com shots, solo against white, but that's what works for them. So you have to give them the tools that they need to put together a good book.
I was going to ask you, is it better to have styled shots or like flat laid white background shots? And it sounds like you're saying the white shots have more versatility.
I think that's right. We always tell our clients to prioritize those, those white shots, solo against white shots. A good editorial can go a long way, even if it's not included in the pages, if it's included as like a one-off in the pitch, you still are conveying something about your brand voice. And it also can make you look more legitimate to an editor. And editors want to refer their readers to real companies, legitimate companies. They don't necessarily want to refer you to a hobbyist who can't complete an order. So there are certain things that will make you look like you have a real grown-up business, and an editorial shot can help. And they are included. It's not like zero editorial, zero stylized images are included, especially if you sell a kit. Stylizing can go a long way, or merchandising can go a long way in the picture. But yeah, usually a simpler photo with less bells and whistles is what they're going to include in the page.
That's good info. When I had my product brand, we had a Dropbox folder that was kind of like our media kit. And we had a folder that was all of our, I guess, styled, lifestyle, props and things. Words are escaping me right now. But we had a folder of all that. And then we had a file where it was just the white background with transparent background so that they could plop it in different places. And I did get a lot of positive feedback from editors that said, thanks for sharing both of those because they use them for different things. And so I think having that versatility is really helpful too. But it's good to hear what's now new and current, because my product brand was many years ago that I stopped doing that. So it's good to hear that both are interesting.
Yeah. Editorial images are great. Like, don't not take them. If you only have budget or bandwidth or time for one kind, I think the solo on white shots are where you want to put that bandwidth. And then you also use them for your purchase pages and your product pages, so they have like a little bit more bang for the buck.
Yeah, for sure.
I think editorial images are pretty important. Most of our clients with Wolf PR, they give us both.
Cool. So photos are super important. What other things should we be doing to perhaps prepare our website for these gift guide submissions? Like, I'm assuming the editors are then going to like check out our social, check out our websites. You know, they want to know, like you said, that we're a legit business and that we can handle the volume of orders they're going to send our way.
Yep. I think all those things are right. One of the things, this sounds like super low hanging fruit, but you'd be surprised how many people do not do this. When you have everything on your store sold out, or like a bunch of stuff is sold out, we're always like, hey, can you go and either remove those or make it like sign up for the wait list? You know, why would an editor refer their readership to a site that they can't actually buy things? Affiliate links, I don't know how familiar your audience might be with them. Like the Reader's Digest version, it's this kind of a referral fee. So if Real Simple sends you to a shoe brand and you buy those shoes, Real Simple gets a portion of the sale. And they want to know that they can like make some money off of that. So if your site has everything sold out, then like they're not going to do that. And that's another thing you'd want to do to set yourself up for success if you're doing any e-com, is to do an affiliate links network. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit in the weeds to go over like quickly in a podcast, but it's something that digital editors really want to see now. I will say, like, pre-pandemic, we had one client who had them. Now we can't work with clients who don't set the affiliate links up. So a lot has changed in that space, but I think it's a good thing to start to become familiar with as media continues to evolve.
It's been interesting to watch how the industry has changed in so many different ways. And this affiliate opportunity for the publications makes a whole lot of sense. I'm just curious, do you know kind of what the average range is that folks are offering for their affiliate programs, particularly to the media?
Yeah, it's between 8% and 15%. Like if I'm a publisher, yes, percent, I want 100%, you know, like I want all the money. And that's right. Like not a realistic expectation. And if I'm the seller of the product, I want 0%, which also like is not any longer realistic. So usually I think between 8% and 15% is a standard, and it goes up as publications have more power in that conversation, but you can negotiate.
Yeah. Everything's negotiable. Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. Awesome. Okay. So we're getting our photos ready. We're making sure our website doesn't have a bunch of sold out products, that we've got stuff for people to sell. Yes. We're getting our affiliate links ready. Is there anything else we should be thinking about or preparing that might not be on our radar?
So I think one of the most important things you can do besides having good photos is doing research. For example, a lot of our clients sell furniture and they're like, hey, we want to be in the Times. Now the Times got rid of their Thursday style section for furniture years ago. And it tells me that they are not familiar with their industry's publication. And it's like, I have to break it to them, like, it's very unlikely that you're going to get in because there's not a section for you anymore. So like making sure it's not just like an idea, oh, it would be nice to be included in this publication that I have a vague idea about. Instead, like, I read this title, I know the section because I have studied the section. I've studied my competitors in this section who are getting the press that I want to get. I follow my competitors and I see where else they're getting press. I know the name of the editor because I've read this publication every month or every week, or I check this blog, you know, twice a week, whatever it is. So you start to get to have this familiarity. They're just people. And again, going back to empathy, they're highly underpaid people who are very stressed out and have ridiculous expectations placed on their shoulders. So if you can come in with a sense of understanding what they need to put together their book and make their job easier by doing that research. So that means looking at the gift guides they produced last year. Oh, they did an astrology gift guide. And look, I have something that's astrology themed. Let me serve that up first. You're going to do so much better than the next person. You're going to get in that publication where the next person isn't.
Oh, yeah. That personal touch, the acknowledgement of the work that the person you're reaching out to is doing, makes all the difference in the world. And I love what you said about making their lives easier, because that's the same thing that we need to do for, we teach people about selling wholesale and reaching out to brick and mortar shops. And my entire message is make it easy for them to say yes to you, to purchasing from you and providing them with the tools. And you're saying the exact same thing when it comes to the editors that you're working with or pitching. You know, let's make it as easy as possible for them to say yes. Let's make their job easier and do what we can. Now, you mentioned like last year they had the astrology stuff, so let's pitch that first. I guess my question is, they did it last year. Do you think they're likely to do it again with that same type of theme, or are they switching up the themes year over year in different ways?
Yeah, there's not like 100% solid way to answer this question.
Of course.
There are a lot of themes that repeat. You're going to see under $50 or under $100. You're going to see gifts for him, gifts for her, gifts for the kid. You'll probably see like in a food publication, you're going to see food related gifts. So it might be like actual edible consumable things, or it might be a plate that like has lots of carrots on it, or like, you know, we have a client that does hair clips and she does all sorts of like food shaped hair clips. So she's always in a gift guide in like Food Network magazine and Bon Appetit and these kind of things. So like there are always repeating themes, and then there are kind of like one-offs. We see astrology came to the top of my head because it continues to be hot. It's like Taylor Swift, like everyone wants to write about Taylor Swift. Everyone wants to write about astrology. And for the publication, it's like a shoe-in because they get so much engagement from those articles. So you're going to see that pop up a lot. If there's like a Barbie themed gift guide from 2023, there might not be one in 2024 because the Barbie movie did not come out in 2024. So I think you have to bring some kind of like common sense to the conversation. But even if you're like, hey, I saw you did astrology, not sure if you're doing it again, but here's my astrology stuff. And here's some other stuff that I just think you would like. Then you're still in service of, even if they're doing something different, you've opened up that door.
And you're covering all bases, like you said. So
totally.
Yeah. The chasing the trends piece is tricky because trends come and go so fast. And, you know, we just got to be cognizant of that. I think your idea of like the target market of the gifts or even a dollar amount that the gifts fall under is probably a really solid way to start if somebody's just getting into this. You know, I mentioned earlier that I had this digital press kit, so to speak, for media. What kind of materials should folks be putting together? Should they have like a digital PDF media kit of some sort, aside from the images that we talked about? Like, are there tools that they should put in place?
They can. We always want like a Dropbox folder or a Google Drive folder of images for their use. One thing our clients do, because we ask them to do it, that I'll pass along, and it's, again, just like a little 1% change, but it does help you be in service, is have those photos labeled. Like, have a naming mechanism, like name of the company underscore name of the product underscore one, whatever it is. So that way, if it's in the folder of the editor or the buyer or whoever, they can find your stuff. They know how to connect that image back to the story they're working on. So yeah. I lost my train of thought a little bit. Can you remind me your question?
Media kits, press kits, materials, basically. That's a great tip, by the way, though. I think, you know, it carries into a lot of things, too, because if they put it on their website and it's named that name, that's good SEO for you, too. So a little side tip there.
Yeah. All those things are like little things that maybe an intern or an entry-level person can help or a VA can help with. Okay, so you want those images. You can put like an about the company or a bio. As far as like a PDF, I wouldn't say go beyond doing your lookbook and just sending it to them. You may remove some things from the lookbook. Like, we always ask our clients to remove wholesale prices because editors can't use that. They need the retail price. And we always ask our clients to remove like SKU numbers or like things that, again, the editors aren't going to use. They're not buyers. So sometimes we'll submit lookbooks as is, even the wholesale info. Editors know what they are, but we try again to like be in service of the editor and give them only the things that they can use. But a lookbook is fine. Like, sometimes they'll solicit and say, we're starting to put together our gift guides. Send out lookbooks because we don't know what our themes are yet. We're just trying to see like what you guys have. Mm-hmm. We're a little bit lucky because we pitch gift guides every single year for over a decade. So they know to come to us. I don't think that's a realistic expectation if it's your first or even second year reaching out. But it's a good thing that you can pass along and say, I just wanted to send this to you.
That's awesome. Now, if people can't afford to hire and outsource somebody like you with the immense experience that you have and the contacts that you have, to do the gift guide pitching specifically, what are a couple of ways that they can DIY it? We've talked about the assets they need to have in place and the timing of it, but what does the actual like pitch process look like for them?
Yeah, I mean, like, soft plug, and we're doing this with you, but we're doing a little workshop together and we have a course about that. So let's say you don't want to do any of those things, or you're going to do them, but you want some advice from this podcast anyway. Some things that you can do is that research. That's the first thing that you can do to understand the categories that you want to pitch. Now, obviously, you can't be everything to everyone. We all have 10,000 hats that we're trying to wear at the same time as small businesses. But let's say you found 10 editors you want to pitch this year. And so you've figured out what they write about. The next thing you want to do is put your pitch together. And again, empathy, what do they need to do their job? It's not about like, oh, it'd mean a lot to me if you included my product. They don't care about you. You're not their boss. I see you like
waving my hands.
Yeah. So what do they need? They need to know what the images look like, because that's the first thing that they're putting their book together with, or their digital page together. They need the pricing. They need the name of the product. They need the name of the store. And then they need any sort of information that they're going to include in their like one sentence description. So does a portion of the product give back? They need that information. Is it made from all natural materials? Or is it made in the States? Or is it only made in Ireland? Or is it inspired by, you know, like one of our clients made a bunch of bread shaped things and it's inspired because she's a celiac. So like, that was a nice little story, one sentence that we can include. They do not need the life story of the founder. This is not a profile. It is strictly about products that they're trying to push. So it makes it really easy, actually. You're not trying to like give them a whole life story. You're just trying to give them the tools to put a gift guide together. So that's kind of like what the pitch looks like. You send that out in the appropriate timeline. So again, if you're pitching print national, that's about 6 months before December. If you're pitching print regional, it's about 4 months before. And then digital and dailies happen between like October like mid-September, usually October, and then November, early November. If you're trying to pitch right around Thanksgiving, it's probably not going to happen for you.
Yeah, it's too late. Something that is extremely important, in my opinion, before you go through all the time and effort to pitch the press, is selecting the right products for a gift guide. We ran a digital gift guide last year, and I noticed that some of my clients did not submit their bestsellers or their highest profit margin products or the things that were on trend based on what was trendy at the time. Or like, I feel like we do need to be cognizant of what we're submitting in addition to how we're submitting it and what kind of assets we're submitting, but choosing things that are going to benefit your business most by leading with those things. Do you agree with that?
I think there's two ways I'm going to answer this question because I almost agree. I like am 85% there. So the thing about media and sales is they can work together, but they don't always work together. So one of my favorite examples, for example, is fashion. Like what you see Rihanna wear down the runway or the red carpet, or what you see get a lot of press going down the runway. Like right now, topically, Maisa Margiela had John Galliano do like this huge fashion show. And it was on like all my Instagram reels and TikTok, and everyone's talking about it. It's getting a lot of press in the media. Like no one's going to buy those things.
Right.
Maybe a few celebrities will wear them. They're not accessible, but the media wants to talk about them because they're an interesting story. That's the job of the media, is to surface really interesting, cool stuff for their readership. Then Maisa Margiela sells like expensive t-shirts, and that's what like you and me and everyone buys. So they had a brand moment, they got into the media, and then they have something accessible for people to actually purchase. Accessible. I don't know what their price point is. It's probably not accessible for me, but that's kind of like the goal of media and the goal of a store are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And so I think like, for example, we have a client that sells furniture, shelves, pillows, blankets. You know what's a great gift? Blankets. People write about blankets every single year, like a little throw. You know, it's not a great gift? Shelves. Now the shelves make more money than the blanket, but shelves are not going to be included in a gift guide. No one's ever received shelves under the Christmas tree and been like, I am so happy about this.
Right.
So I think you have to, again, approach with empathy about what they're publishing and approach with research. Have they ever published anything like what I'm trying to get them to write about before? If they haven't, they are not changing for you. So you have to kind of like, oh, I would really love to sell more of this more expensive thing, but they don't write about things in this price point. I'm going to go with my least expensive thing or my less expensive thing. So I think it kind of like depends what the publication wants to publish or if it's newsworthy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, majority of my clients sell consumer gift products. So everything they sell would be appropriate for a gift guide. And so I 100% agree with your example of the blanket versus the shelves. Nobody really cares to see shelves in a publication or a gift guide. But from the standpoint of, I guess I would just want to make the point that it's important that we're selecting the right products to submit for these gift guides. And we do want to put things that are giftable and, you know, intriguing and pique curiosity and create a story and that do drive people back to our site to ultimately purchase, whether it's that singular item or other things. But I think my point of this portion of the conversation is just intentionality in terms of what we're putting forward.
Absolutely. I also love something that you said just now, which is bring them to our site to buy that or something else. I think with press, it's a very poor measurement of press if they just bought the one thing that they publish, because that doesn't happen that often. Like, oh my gosh, you have a great SEO backlink. You have a logo you can put on your site. You have content for newsletters and Instagram posts and your press page. And it can just like do so much more. And I feel like just getting narrowed into like that one product instead of like, or maybe they'll buy something else, is like such a beautiful way to think about what press can do. So I love that you said that.
Yeah. Sounds like we're saying the same thing, just different ways too.
So yeah.
Nora, this conversation has been excellent. I really appreciate you taking the time to come and chat with us. Can you tell people where they can find you online, maybe your social and your website, please?
Yeah. So you can follow us at go.wolf.craft on Instagram. And then we have a website, wolf-craft.com. And we have a free newsletter. Please feel free to sign up. People love it. I'm not just tooting my own horn. I think it's pretty good. So yeah, those are the ways you can reach out. We always respond to emails. Our emails on the website. It's also hello@wolf-craft.com. And that's it. Thank you so much for having me, Katie.
Of course, Nora. This was wonderful. I appreciate your time.
Great questions. Thank you.
What a delightful conversation with Nora. There are so many parallels between pitching the press and also pitching wholesale accounts. You know, we want to make it as easy as possible for anyone to say yes to working with us, whether that's press or whether that's retailers. So there were lots of great nuggets in today's episode. But if you are looking for more ideas on how to pitch gift guides for the holiday season, be sure to join us for our upcoming free workshop on pitching your products to gift guides. This workshop is on May 7th at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and you can register at proof2product.com/PR workshop. Also, if you are looking for more strategies on how to pitch wholesale accounts, definitely check out our Unlock Buyer's Secrets interview series. To make a first impression with wholesale buyers, you need to do a few things really well. We need to make it easy for stores to purchase from us. We need to have clear pricing and terms and conditions. We need to clearly communicate and add value at every touch point. We need to focus on building strong relationships with our customers. And all of that becomes infinitely easier when we actively listen to our customers. So this on-demand interview series will give you a competitive edge by providing you with a window into what buyers want and need from you as a manufacturer. And the best part, it's only $27. So you can get access to that at proof2product.com/unlock. That's proof2product.com/unlocked. All right, friends, thanks for listening until the end. I will be back next week with a new episode.